So on Sunday, a lot of us had the pleasure of watching Sydney Lucas destroy, which is what the viral video said, the song Ring of Keys from Fun Home on Broadway. And if you haven't seen it, you've somehow managed to miss something that's gone quite viral. And it's a pretty amazing performance. But for gay people like me and my friends who've watched this video dozens of times through tears, what we see in it is this sort of revelation about something that's so true and common of our experience, which is that even before you come out, even before we came out, there would be these moments, these like flashes of insight where some connection was made with a stranger or something that we recognized that momentarily and instantaneously decoded this thing that we knew about ourselves that was fundamental but didn't have any words. And that song really captured that. And I had that feeling the first time I met the man who was going to become my stepfather. My mother had picked me up from camp that summer. I was 13 years old. And normally I would have talked her ear off all the way back home. But in this particular summer, she was going on and on about this amazing man that she'd met and fallen in love with just during the 4 weeks I was at camp. This isn't that surprising for my mother. But anyway, coincidentally, I was having crushes on boys all summer as well. But I had the presence of mind to know that you don't talk about that, that it's a secret. It's a desperate secret. Lucky for me, my mother's self-involvement kept her from asking me about anything about camp, so it didn't matter. When I met Thomas, she was right. Everything that she'd said in the car was true. He was funny and gregarious and vivacious. He was 12 years younger than she was, so he was young. He was blonde and blue-eyed. He had this incredible laugh that like filled up the room. He smoked cigarettes, and so he would smoke and laugh, and he couldn't moderate the sound of it, the volume of it, and it was great. And I totally saw things in him that made sense to me, like a string being plucked or some harmonic resonance or something. And it's really scary, because I was also confused about what that meant. I didn't really know. But I was starting to figure it out, and I knew it needed to be a secret. He was also desperately in love with my mother. They got married. It was a whirlwind. Moved in together. And everything was pretty good for a couple of years. And then Thomas started to unravel. And these peculiar things would happen. Like one time out of nowhere, he told me that he could travel through time in tornadoes. Familiar. Another time, he stole a car from the municipal pool. And his intention was to drive to D.C. to tell the president how much he loved my mother. He was really desperate to love my mother and to let people know how much he loved my mother. The scariest time, one time he called me after school and said, I'd like you to come meet me at the local high school because I'm training for the Olympics. And I was like, okay. I went there, I met him. He was wearing the shortest gym shorts you can possibly imagine and the longest gym socks, like way past his knees. He put out his cigarette, did a couple of push-ups, and ran about half a lap. And then said, we're done training for the Olympics today. Let's go get a hamburger. And I was like, okay. The scariest one was when he came to my house after school. I lived with my dad and my stepmom and picked me up. And he showed me one of my mother's necklaces, which had a sort of a gemstone in the middle. And he said, your mother's dead. See, the fire is gone. We proceeded to drive to her old house, and he got out of the car and went tromping off into the woods. Nobody in the family owned this house. I was like, be careful. He's tromping off in the woods, shouting her name. He comes back. He gets in the car. We drive back to their apartment. I walk in. My mother's sitting on the couch eating grapes. She says, where the fuck have you been? And it was a good question, because how we didn't put all of this together and see that he was a big mess, I don't know. Shortly thereafter, she asked him to move out. He became homeless. He broke down her door one night, and desperate to hug her and hold her, he was never dangerous. He just wanted so desperately to be with her. He ended up at the state mental hospital where he was diagnosed with bipolar disorder and schizophrenia and HIV, which had progressed to AIDS. And either because of his own mental health stuff, and now I look back on it and wonder if it was HIV dementia or what it was, but it was definitely shame and definitely embarrassment. He refused any treatment. He moved to California to live with his father. I was coming out all during this time, and I was terrified about what this meant for me. Here's this guy, and we're getting this story over time that's putting these pieces together that's just unbelievable. And I was worried that, was that going to be me? The last time I saw him was when I was, I think, between my freshman and sophomore years of college, and we went out to dinner, and I told him I was gay. And he said, don't ever tell anybody. Don't ever tell anybody. It's your business. And I went back to college, and I came out to my parents, and he died in December of 1993. I had to tell my mother, and I had to order the death certificate so that she could get a divorce from him. And I tell his story because so many stories like his are completely invisible, and I think perpetuating that invisibility perpetuates the world in which kids have to decode this stuff in this really peculiar way that's confusing and painful. And I know that secrets will kill you if you let them.